Kelly's one strike pitch. Swing and a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
The Nats Radio Network brings us out as the Nats victorious last night out in Los Angeles. You're listening to Taz and the Moose here on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Mike Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Just trying to figure out what I'm going to do now with baseball. So, but I'm good. My teams are all my team's gone. My
Dogs. The Nats alive and well after the victory last night, and what hell of a victory it is!
The Moose love for DC still continues.
It does continue.
It's unreal.
As you get back-to-back home runs to tie the game up at 3 off of Clayton Kershaw, then you get the grand slam by Howie Kendrick of all people.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts sticking with Joe Kelly there in the top half of the 10th inning.
Unreal.
As they win the game 7-3 and. Even though I like Washington coming into the series to advance to the National League Championship Series, I am really surprised at the way in style and fashion which that Game 5 went down in L.A. at Chavez Ravine. Strasburg bad early, giving up the three runs. You know, the two-run blast to Muncy, the solo shot to Kiki Hernandez that gave the Dodgers a 3-0 lead at that stage, Taz. And then he really, really settled down at that point. And the Nats bullpen was very good, gave him nothing. Patrick Corbin actually came in for an inning and a third after he imploded earlier in the series, and he was very good last night for Dave Martinez and the Nats, and gave him an opportunity. I think for the first layer, you know, besides the Nats and what it means for them and Soto and Rendon. And those guys is, you know, Dave Roberts did an atrocious job. If you you were pulling for the Dodgers, the Los Angeles fan walking out of Chavez Ravine last night. To kind of force feed Kershaw there after he gets the strikeout in the top half of the seventh inning and to roll him back out there for the eighth inning, where you're trying to change the narrative that Kershaw is not a great playoff pitcher and he hasn't been. And I've defended Kershaw in the past. You can't defend him any longer. I mean, you really can. And he's no longer the same pitcher that he once was, Taz. But I cannot. I was absolutely stunned. I thought after he got that strikeout, top half of the seventh, I thought that was it for Kershaw. I thought, go to Kolarik at that stage. I know Kenley Jansen's not been great this year. You got Joe Kelly. I know he imploded in the 10th. I thought that would have been it. To have him come back out there for the top half of the eighth inning, and this was first guessing, watching that game last night, I was surprised that Dave Roberts brought Kershaw back out for the eighth.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was shocked. I was sitting there. I'm like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. I mean, because to your point, you know, to get out of that inning, it was two on, two out, and he gets it. He gets out of the inning, and you figure, all right, that's it. Quit while you're ahead with him. And they didn't do that. And I actually felt bad for Kershaw. Look, he had to pull Bueller. He did the right thing there. Okay,
well, he threw 117 pitches.
It was enough.
He did his job, right.
It was 3-1. You're winning by two. You know, it was 3-1 Dodgers at that time. Yeah, I mean, Kershaw just like, it's horrible for the whole team. It's horrible for him. I mean, I felt horrible for the fans out there in L.A. watching the game. The Dodger fans, when that granny happened, that grand slam. Well, not only that, the back to back homers Kershaw gave up in the top of the eighth. The shock, and I think Soto was the second home run, right?
Yeah, Soto was the second blast.
Oh my God, the people. I mean, we've seen it over years watching sports as fans or covering it. How the oxygen comes out of the audience, the home team crowd. hometown crowd, I should say. Oh, my God. I don't remember the last time I saw it that bad last night. It was unbelievable.
You're right. Good point. It was terrible. And, Taz, not just the fact that it was back-to-back home runs, back-to-back pitches.
Two pitches.
I mean, three pitches into the top half of the eighth inning, the game was tied. 1-0 pitch to Rendon, sent over the left field wall there. And then the first pitch to Soto sent over sent over the wall as well to tie the game up at three. I mean, it was, to me, I look at it, I was absolutely stunned.
Unreal,
I mean, stunned watching it. And for Kershaw, there's no defending it any longer. I mean, you can try and, if you want, I mean, try and defend the narrative. And he's a three-time Cy Young Award winner, first ballot Hall of Famer. He is an amazing regular season pitcher. He's, there's no question what the impact that he's had on the game. And at one point in time, Taz, he was the best pitcher I've ever seen.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
And now you look at it, though, in October, when he was great in the regular season, he was never nearly as dominant. And to come in last night and force feed that kind of narrative, when you have a guy like Kolarik, who is retired Soto all three times he's faced him in this series, and even if you say you want to keep him in there for Rendon, who's a righty batter, but you keep Rendon in the game. All right, so he gives up the blast to Rendon. It's a 3-2 game. How exactly do you allow Clayton Kershaw then to face Soto, realizing that he just gave up a home run? I mean, he's got to be out of the game.
I agree. A bad job by Roberts. A catastrophic job by Roberts in there. To your point, I mean, once you give it up to Rendon, that home run on one pitch, you know, you got to realize that. Listen, he got us out of the seventh. Let's get the hell out of here, and let's flip the hill here. And they didn't do that. And man, it cost him bad.
And then the other thing, Taz, you get to the tenth inning, and what he did with Joe Kelly.
I mean,
when you have a scenario where with Joe Kelly, where you have Kelly of Naples initially, obviously in that top half of the tenth inning. You know, game tied up at three. He walks Eaton, a Rendon ground rule double, second and third. Kolarik still not in the game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. You intentionally walk Juan Soto to load the bases and keep Joe Kelly in the game.
I thought he was going to pull him there. I did.
Yeah, I don't get it, man.
How
exactly at that stage do you keep Joe Kelly in the game? What more do you need to see that he doesn't happen? The Eaton walk and then the Rendon double. I mean, Kelly's got to be out of that game. Listen, I still think the Washington Nationals are at least going to score a run there. But then you put the cherry on the top, walk Soto, and then gives up the grand slam to Howie Kendrick to straightaway center field. The game's over.
Forget about it. Yeah, no, forget it. And the Nats win the game 7-3 on the road. Bye-bye, Dodgers. Oh, God, my team. Man.
I mean, brutal. A brutal loss for the Los Angeles Dodgers with all the success they had in the regular season. And then you get to the Washington perspective, Taz. And they are basically, as one person described it, the cardiac Nats. I mean, to what they did coming back against the Milwaukee Brewers in that series, right? In that game, in the wild card game, and doing it against the one of the best relievers and the Brewers' best closer to win that game and do get the benefit of the outfield error in right field. Now, you get to this series, and you said, all right, well, Washington was lifeless in game one because they were probably celebrating the wild card victory. And to be able to rally, facing elimination in game four, Scherzer delivers, then go on the road against Walker Buehler, who was very, very good, throwing 117 pitches in 6 2/3 innings of work.
Deep, yeah.
And to come back in the eighth inning and then win in the tenth, I mean, and to do it in the season after you just lost Bryce Harper, I mean, think about this for the Washington Nationals as they go to St. Louis to begin the series against the Cards on Friday night, Taz, in the National League Championship Series. I mean, that is one hell of a victory for Washington.
Oh, it's super impressive, and their bats were wide awake. You know what I mean? Like, Rendon had a great game. Soto had a great game. I mean, in the box, you know what I mean? I mean, it was really Rendon.
Oh, Soto's great. Yeah, Rendon, great. Yeah,
both those guys, big time. Three hits for Rendon. I think it was two hits for Soto. So, I mean, that's big and clutch stuff. Those home runs were insane. I mean, I did not expect this. I mean, as a Mets fan, I don't want to see the Nats advance, obviously, but it's happening. But, cardiac Nats, I mean, that covers it because this was shocking. This was a shocking thing. Shocking to me. I did not expect this. I didn't expect this to happen at all. And we talk about momentum a lot with teams, and geez, man, Washington Nationals, the amount of momentum they have right now, and they got to roll with it. And this kid Soto is just a special. How old is he? 21 years old or something like that?
I think he's 22. He's 20 or 22? Maybe he's 21.
Under 22.
Yeah, correct.
Young guy. I mean, just
very young.
A special player. I mean, really, he's just unbelievable.
He's only 20.
He's 20. Yeah,
yeah, 20 years
young.
Old.
Crazy, right? But anyway, yeah, no, it's really impressive what they're doing here. And now, like you said, you got the Cardinals and you got the Nats, which is, you know, a market nightmare for the MLB, for Major League Baseball, but maybe not nightmare. That might be an exaggeration, but...
Well, it's not the sexier series, because the Dodgers, obviously, with how good they've been, the L.A. Right. market, you don't want to lose the L.A. market. I mean, you're correct from a market perspective.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Atlanta, too, is a big, very big market.
Yeah,
Atlanta.
Sure. I mean, but St. Louis is one of those... St. Louis is one of those teams that is kind of a national team. You know, the Cards have got fans kind
big
of
fan
all over
base.
The place.
Yeah,
yeah they
base.
Do. And they're fervent, and they're, you know, they're passionate fans.
True,
so,
true.
You know, St. Louis is kind of one of those brands that sell across the country. I believe I look at them as being kind of one of those teams, but certainly they wanted the Dodgers, right?
Yeah,
you know, L.A., the Chavez Ravine, the mountains in the back, and the sun setting.
Well, it's
a
massive market,
right? That's no question
big,
about it.
Big,
but
big
you're
going to
get Washington.
I know
I mean, it's
I
coming.
Yeah.
Whether the MLB, I'm sure, wasn't happy about it, but whether they like it or not, but it is a Taz. It's a great story. I mean, from a Washington perspective, and just from a team perspective.
Sure.
I remember at one point in time, this team was 19-31. They were 19-31 through 50 games of the regular season, 12 games under the 500 mark. They come steamrolling. I think they had from that point forward, I think they had the fourth or third best record in all of Major League Baseball. Make it as a wild card, win a wild card game. Now come back and beat the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, who pretty much everyone kind of thought was going to, at the very least, get themselves to the NLCS, but the favorite in the National League to get themselves to the World Series.
Right.
And come back on them and win a Game 5 in Los Angeles. I'm sitting here stunned. I still can't believe what I watched last night. And we all watched it.
Oh.
I still can't believe they came back and won that game. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It was... I mean, I really was pulling for the Dodgers.
Yep.
I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. No knock on the national fans.
I mean, no doubt about it.
I'm just saying, I was like, man, I mean, it's not like I had action on the game. I just, I was kind of pulling for L.A. And man, they're Dunsky. And what a good team they are. And it's like you can't finish. You can't end up in the NLCS when you're at home. If you look at the rosters side by side, the Dodgers have the better team.
Yeah.
But the roster don't matter. It's performance. It's, as we know.
Yeah, and it's some bad managing as well.
Well, that's true.
Roberts deserves to wear some goat horns here for how he handled it, whether it be keeping Kershaw in the game, Joe Kelly, how he handled him in the 10th inning. I mean, just an absolute disaster. Here is Dave Roberts after the game talking about why he stuck with Kelly in the 10th.
Kelly, you're looking at obviously a tie ball game, and Kelly goes in there, throws 10 pitches, and he's throwing the baseball really well. He's arguably our most, rested reliever in the way he was throwing the baseball. So I felt it was pretty easy. Don't have a lot of guys as far as, behind Kenley. I liked Joe right there in that spot. I really did. After 10 pitches, there was no stress, ball coming out well. And so for him to go out there and take down that inning and to have Kenley take down the other part of the order, I felt really good about it.
Well, I mean, but also, I mean, you could talk about the ball coming out of his hands well and no stress and that he's rested. I mean, you could clearly tell that that's a guy he trusted. When you see the walk and the double, I mean, maybe your perception of Joe Kelly needs to change at that point in time, Taz, and
maybe
realize.
Maybe I need to readjust.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe at that stage you got to say, my game plan's not going to work. We mentioned Kershaw, who's also going to take a lot of heat, and rightfully so, for those back-to-back home runs, back-to-back pitches. Top half of the eighth inning, 3-1 game, 3-3. Here's Kershaw after the loss.
I had one job to do, just get three outs, and got one out, and didn't get the other two, and they went over the fence, cost us the game right there. So it's a terrible feeling. There's no excuses, just didn't make pitches, and guy hit it over the fence twice.
Oh, just, I mean...
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Yeah, just second time in his career on back-to-back pitches, he's given up home runs, Taz. We mentioned Kendrick, who, if we circled a guy, said, if I asked you yesterday, Give me a guy that has the game-winning grand slam for the Washington Nationals.
I would pick him.
The last guy would have been Howie Kendrick to straightaway center field. But there he was nonetheless. This was after the game on MLB Network.
You know what? That's some magic right there, man. We've had a great year all year. I mean, like, the start of our year, you never thought we'd be in this moment right here. Great team for the Dodgers, you know, 106 wins. But, you know, tonight we were able to best them. And, you know, they're a really good team. But, you know, one swing of the bat can change things. And I'm glad that we were able to get this series.
Good for him. You know what? Good for him. I mean, you're right. He's kind of an unsung hero in this thing here.
Yeah, no doubt. You know? And he's been around a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Angels.
Yeah. I mean, Howie Kendrick's had a lot of style, you know, played a lot of baseball and been on some really good teams. And that was just an absolute monster blast. So Dave Martinez, who took a lot of heat, as we mentioned earlier on the regular season, well, who thought he was going to be the skipper at that time to survive the year, no less lead the Nats to the NLCS. Here he is after the win.
As far as this franchise, man, I couldn't be prouder to be a part of this franchise. For the fans who showed up, you know, through all those miserable days that we had early, hey, thank you, appreciate it. And, yeah, we're playing for National League Championship. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds it. I mean, geez. I mean, it sounds like he's about to go to the dentist.
Yeah. I think the baseball guys they're just kind of beaten down. They're like they're you know, it's a game of failure, as we know. And I do think they don't show. You know, I think
he smiles a little bit. No, doesn't even sound like he's smiling. It's almost like it sounds like he's about to go in. You know, and have it.
It's like
know,
they won like
a prostate exam.
It's like they won back to back games right after spring training in the regular season. Yeah, well, we got a couple of wins on this belt. We're good now.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Like, all right, thanks a lot.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, right.
So you look at it, you know, the Dodgers go home, the Nats march on. That game was great, Taz.
Yeah.
The early game,
not so great.
Basically, game started at 5. By about 5:15,
it was old.
You can find something else to do.
And I did.
We'll get into that as well. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Oh, we got him on it from Jersey, our guy.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, you know, just, I mean, when I watched that game last night, the first thought that crossed my mind was, what does this say about Bryce Harper? Hmm. Where is a guy, you know, who I think is the most overrated player in the league, and here he is. He leaves the Nationals, and now here they are going to the championship series. And look, I understand it. I mean, maybe it's two separate things, but that was the first thought I had. Like, wow, they did it. It was, oh my God, Kershaw flopped again. And you know, what are people like the Phillies thinking, where they paid all this money for Bryce Harper, and here the team he left is now in the championship series?
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, when Taz and I were talking about the game yesterday, it's one of the kind of intriguing storylines I mentioned that had me kind of pulling for Washington. You know, growing up a Yankee fan, though, I was rooting for Washington in the series and picked them because I wanted to see, you know, the fact that this team have success after losing a talent like Harper. Oh, listen, Harper's a star. I mean, he, you know, we mentioned at the time, what was it? Right when the Phillies signed him, he was the number one selling a jersey in Major League Baseball. You know, people either love or hate Bryce Harper. I think it changed the dynamic of the Nats team, but you also need talented players, and they do with Robles, with Soto. Mm-hmm. Robles has got that hamstring injury, didn't play last night, but you got Robles, Soto, you've got Rendon, who's a top three MVP, maybe top two MVP candidate this year. I think Bellinger from the Dodgers is going to win it, Taz, but you know, you got to have other guys. Trey Turner's a hell of a player. You've got Scherzer. You've got Strasburg.
Right.
They added Corbin, gave him a six-year, $140 million deal in the offseason. you know, they did spend that money. I mean, I don't know if there's a direct connection, but I do think this team took on a different mindset and personality when Harper was out of that room.
Yeah, I would agree. But, I mean, I guess I kind of look at Harper a little differently, and I don't mean this to be a whole thing about Bryce Harper, but, you know, you could say he's a star, but here's a guy, three of the last 4 years, he hasn't hit over 260.
That's true.
That, I mean, I think the impression or the perception of Bryce Harper is greater than the reality of Bryce Harper.
You know what, John, he's not Mike Trout, and you know, he's not that caliber of player. But he's still, when I say star, is that people care about Bryce Harper. You're calling about Bryce Harper right after the Nats get eliminated, but what must he be thinking right now? And maybe he's not thinking about it at all. Maybe he doesn't give a rat's you know what. But it would bother me, Taz, if I was with a franchise, I was drafted by that franchise, I leave that franchise in the offseason, I go sign with one of their rivals, and then all of a sudden that team is having success in the postseason. Maybe he's wired differently. I know everyone's a little bit different, Taz.
Right.
It would bother me. I mean, would it bother you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think anybody with any sort of competitive juices, it would bother. I don't think he's ever going to sell it. I don't think he's ever going to react to it. Like, I was just, as you and John were talking, I was looking at Bryce Harper's social media. He hasn't put anything, like, just as far as Twitter, he hasn't put nothing out since the 4th, October 4th. It was something about, like, some baseball skills. I don't know if he was at a camp or did I don't know what he did, but it had nothing to do with the playoffs. But anyway, I mean, the postseason. But, yeah, no, I would. It would bother me. And I'm he's an ultra-competitive guy, Harper, and he's I would think it's bothering him a lot. But, listen, you know, he did what he had to do. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't, you know, he had an opportunity and to make this kind of money and to do what he had to do. Guys got to get it while they can. You know, I mean, no one's knocking that. I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, I get it. But if you're a Phillies fan and you know them, those Philly fans, you know, they're furious that, you know, they were nowhere near getting an opportunity to go into the postseason. The Nats fans got to be loving it. The Nats players are playing with a chip on their shoulder because all they heard about in their clubhouse while Bryce Harper was on that team was Bryce Harper's the whole team.
Right.
That was the star of the team.
Yeah, good point.
You know what I mean? So I think that kind of ticks off those guys on that roster. You know, and you know, you go to an in-conference, an in-division, I should say, you know, in the NL East team, you know, and you go to the Phillies from the Nats. Yeah, you know, that's kind of a kick in the buttocks also.
No, and yeah, you're right. I don't fault Harper for leaving or getting the most money, but I also allowed other guys to grow. I think you have a deeper appreciation for Rendon. Look at the reaction by Soto after the RBI single last night to make it a 3-1 game, Taz, where he looks to the dugout and each and every one of those Nat players is off the bench. You know, they've kind of taken the personality and gone to a team that, you know, maybe where Harper dragged on them a little bit at times with his personality, where at times that clubhouse was a massive issue. That is why, you know, they brought in Dusty Baker at the time,
right?
Because the clubhouse was an absolute disaster. These guys care about one another, and they seem to have this belief where other guys have been able to kind of grow and take up that aspect of Harper and his personality no longer being there, and their personality is clearly different and enabled other guys to obviously, you know, maybe grab center stage like Soto, like Rendon,
sure,
Robles,
yeah,
Trey Turner,
of course, yeah,
you know, pick up that slack, and I think those guys have kind of taken the ball and run with it.
Absolutely. You know, look, it's somebody leaves to the caliber of Harper and there's opportunity for other guys to, someone's got to step up. You see it all the time. You hear it all the time in baseball or the NFL or the NBA or the NHL, what have you. So, but you're right. Those other guys have stepped up, given the opportunity, and the Nats are winning when it matters, right?
Oh.
I mean, now they sail into the NLCS with a lot of momentum, with a huge win on the road against a team that roster-wise is better than them, but that team is home now, so... Me and the Dodgers.
Right. And that's going to be a long offseason for Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that is going to be a tough
Kershaw,
one.
Kershaw
should have the first plane out of the country.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Let's head as far away from Los Angeles and baseball as possible.
I'd find a bungalow somewhere off some small island in France.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Somewhere in France.
All right. I don't want to watch baseball. I don't want to think about baseball. What's going on, Andrew? How you doing, man?
Oh, hey, Moose. Hey,
Ted. Good morning.
Hello. So, yes, it's an amazing first inning in Atlanta, then the 8th and the 10th, the story at Dodger Stadium yesterday. The Cardinals authoring the most damaging first inning in postseason history in their decisive Game 5 in Atlanta.
Here's the pitch to Osuna. Swing, and it gets away from the catcher, and he goes down to first base, and he's safe at first, and the run scores, and it's 10-0. Wow.
Word up, Mike Shannon, Cardinals Radio. Yes, 10-0 Cardinals in the first inning. That was Marcelo Ozuna reaching on a wild pitch third strike to let the 10th and final run score. There were 3 2-run doubles. The pitcher walked, a big Freddie Freeman error. All of that in the largest first inning ever in the playoffs. And 10 runs ties for the most in any postseason inning. It sends St. Louis to a 13-1 win, their first NLCS in 5 seasons. Then the Dodgers took a 3-1 lead on the Nationals into the 8th in their finale. Then Clayton Kershaw served up homers to Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto on consecutive pitches.
Everything people say is true right now about the postseason. I understand that. Nothing I can do about it right now. It's a terrible feeling. It really is.
Kershaw's postseason ERA is now 4.43, but his
Listen, you know it sucks for him. I mean, you know, he didn't want that to happen. He's 31 years old, and he's, like you said, man, I mean, he's just had just an amazing, amazing career, amazing player, but things are changing, especially in the postseason. We talked about this last year, but that him in the postseason. You know what I mean? Like, so... You don't feel bad for the guy? I mean, I feel bad for the guy. He didn't want this to happen.
No, I don't think anybody wants it to happen. I mean, you know, I feel for Clayton Kershaw, but I also think his manager didn't do him any service.
Right.
I think Dave Roberts keeping him in the game. Yeah, I feel for Kershaw, but there's no defending him any longer. I mean, that's the issue. I'm not saying you. I did. I mean, I used to defend him years gone by. You know, and saying, well, he's not as bad. He didn't do this. He didn't, you know, and because of, you know, of what he did in the regular season, I can't defend him any longer.
No,
I mean, that is. But I also know he's nowhere near what he once was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah,
His stuff is not nearly as dominant. It doesn't translate as much. That's why Buehler got the start in Game 5. The last guy to realize that, though, is Dave Roberts, because Dave Roberts all of a sudden thought he had Clayton Kershaw from, like, 2010.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it hit him after the Soto home run. He said, well, you know what? Maybe Kershaw's not that good.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you don't have the right stuff tonight. But, yeah, no, and the thing is, these, you know, batters know. Players know. The guy maybe doesn't have his stuff, or the guy's losing his stuff. And they're more confident once they step in the box. Now, you know, you got a confidence in you. And yet you're swinging hard away at the first pitch, back to back. I mean, and boom.
Well, it's going to hang on. Taz, and there's nothing. I mean, he said, I can't really do anything about it. Taz, I don't know if he's ever going to be able to do anything about it. Because he's
got to win the World Series.
Well, but even if he wins the World Series, unless he pitches, and I don't think Clayton Kershaw, him being dominant, is ever going to go away. The idea of Clayton Kershaw ever being a big-time performer in October, don't you think that ship has sailed?
I think it's sailed.
Listen, he has more bad moments in the postseason, but he's also pitched a lot of big games and pitched them well for the Dodgers in the postseason. It's not all bad.
I'm not saying has he been as dominant in the postseason as he's been in the regular season?
I mean, clearly not. His ERA is 2 runs greater in the postseason.
Right,
the
point.
But it's not like he's gotten the postseason in every single time.
I'm not saying that.
No, I know. But yes, you're right. And I think now that, you know, whatever positives you throw back at somebody, there's going to be more negatives. And we're always going to remember the negative. But I do think if he pitches well enough, doesn't need to get the final out, doesn't need to throw, you know, 3 shutouts in a World Series. But if he is integral to the Dodgers winning the World Series next year or the year after, I think then the net positive, or then the net value, is a positive in his direction. I think you can erase the bad with one title.
No, I don't know if you can erase all the bad. I don't know if you can erase all the bad. Certainly for him, he'd be relieved. I mean, he'd be able to go and, you know, be at 53 years old when 20 years from now.
He's got to be involved. He can't be,
I agree with you,
sitting there watching everybody else do it and get carried to the end. He's got to be in the middle of it, I think.
No, I get it, but I don't... I'm not so sure he can erase it all. He'd have to be really dominant and really good. And you mentioned an integral part in them winning another World Series. This is going to be one that hangs on him for a long time, giving up these back-to-back home runs and back-to-back pitches. But we'll see. He'll get another opportunity because you expect the Dodgers to be back next year. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, but
they could just, even be better next year.
I mean,
Regular season,
you're right,
they full season of Lux.
Yes,
that May kid looks pretty
Justin
good.
May, right? You're right. Ginger guard.
Right. So
yeah. Go ahead,
Kershaw gives up the two solo home runs. That was the eighth inning. The Dodgers didn't lose last night until the 10th.
Kelly's one-strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout.
As they should. Kendrick, the go-ahead tie-breaking grand slam. Just the second extra inning grand slam in postseason history. Dave Jagler called it on Nats Radio. It gave Washington a 7-3 win. They get past the division series for the first time as the Nationals. Game one in St. Louis tomorrow night. It's game five tonight in Houston. The Astros starting Gerrit Cole, Tyler Glasnow for the Rays. The Yankees wait. Game one of the ALCS is Saturday night. It's in Houston or with the Rays in the Bronx. The Lakers and Nets will play in Shanghai next hour, but the Chinese government is forbidding the players from talking to reporters before and after the game. The NBA accepting another smack in the face because of Rockets GM Daryl Morey's controversial tweet about Hong Kong last week. Right now in Japan, the Raptors and Rockets are playing again today. They're in the first quarter, and Houston has a 25-15 lead on Toronto. Last night in Chicago, Zion Williamson scored 29 points, 12 of 13 shooting. His Pelicans won their preseason game over the Bulls, 127-125. Appeals officer and former player Derek Brooks has upheld the season-long unpaid suspension of Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict. Tonight, Giants-Patriots in New England, Thursday Night Football. Rain and wind in the forecast. And the Philadelphia Flyers shut out the Devils last night 4-0. The Sabres topped the Canadiens 5-4 in OT. Two goals, two assists for Jack Eichel. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Let's head out to Sacramento, California, Taz. It's Austin. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Austin?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about Kershaw. And what made me laugh this morning, I didn't get to catch the games. I was working late last night. But I heard the calls. They were great. So I see SportsCenter put up a screenshot talking, junk about Kershaw and how his ERA sucks in elimination games in the postseason. And his name was up there with the likes of Tim Wakefield. Of course, Kershaw was second on that ERA. Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, and Scherzer. I know Wakefield doesn't have a Cy Young, but doesn't Pedro Martinez, Clemens, and Scherzer have a Cy Young?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they're trying to I was going to say they're trying to clown him. They're not. They're trying to put stuff in perspective, but I almost laughed. I was like, he's not a bad pitcher because guess what? Martinez, Clemens, and Scherzer also are on that list. We're talking about the all-time greats. So, baseball is just a funny sport like that, and I don't care about the Dodgers. That's not my team, but I really like Kershaw, and anybody who says they don't want him on their team is fooling themselves. I would take him at the, I'm an A's fan, so of course I'll take Kershaw every single day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was laughable when I saw that. It was a statistic, but all these greats have the same problem, so I just wanted your perspective on that, guys. That's all I got. I'll catch your answer off here,
man. Yeah, thanks, Austin. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for the call. It's interesting, though, the list, and I didn't see that stat that was thrown up there by ESPN, Taz. But Pedro Martinez was with the Red Sox. I mean, I remember when Grady Little force-fed him into that game against the Yankees, which cost him because he wanted Pedro to have that positive experience, and Pedro imploded there. You look at, we brought up Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer in elimination games, his ERA was right around 6, 5.93, I believe, before what he did in Game 4 of the series against the Dodgers. And then you look at Roger Clemens. I mean, Taz, Roger Clemens, when he was with the Red Sox, was never a big game pitcher. Remember, yep. I mean, Met fans will never, he was so amped up against the Mets and Mike Piazza. We had the whole bat incident.
It was a whole incident,
He could never control his emotions.
Slight fisticuffs involved. Yeah, no, he couldn't. Yeah, he was an intense dude. Met him one time, actually. He came to a show we were at. Good guy. Big dude. I couldn't believe how big of a guy he is, Roger Clemens. Like, physically big, like hands were huge.
Yeah, he's a big man.
He's a big, big dude, man.
Yes.
And intense, you could tell. It's kind of like a football player's mentality, pitching in the majors. He was great, though, Clemens, no doubt.
Listen, it's not a matter of whether or not you take Kershaw on your team. And I think everyone would look at Clayton Kershaw and say, yeah, even next year, 32 years of age, you're going to take Kershaw on his team.
Right.
It's what you do in the postseason, Taz. And
right.
You know, you know what? We've been disappointed because we've witnessed Kershaw's greatness in the regular season about how he's performed in October.
Yeah, I know. And this is when it matters. And it stinks. It's all those regular season games, all that success, you know what I mean, domination, a massive assist. These type players that get assist in getting their teams to this deep into the season, the postseason. And then, you know, you're only as good as your last dance, man. That's the unfortunate
thing.
When
the pressure's on, and Taz, you know, I know, I just want to, you know, when you were in the game, when you were in wrestling,
yeah,
right? I'm sure there were guys that when the spotlight wasn't on them, gave you a great match and were great wrestlers.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden when they got a, you know, a bump per se and they moved up.
And the pressure's on.
Yeah. They didn't give you as good of a match. They couldn't handle that pressure, right?
A lot of them sucked. And it jumped out right away to everybody. Yeah, it happened all the time. It's still happening today.
I'm not asking for names, but the example is that there are guys that react to pressure differently.
Right.
It's easier to perform when you're not necessarily all the pressure in the world's on you, but when the pressure's there to perform at your best, when it's really go time, whether it be individually for the team, and you don't, you could be disappointed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk about disappointing. How about the Braves?
Horrible.
What would you have done yesterday? We'll get into that. Game's over. First inning, Taz. What would you have done down in Atlanta?
I'll tell you.
We'll get to that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Sunday NFL CBS doubleheader with many of you seeing two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game airing it out when Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans into KC, followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets at MetLife. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you focused for football on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Schlereth is going to join us. We'll talk a little National Football League. And Taz, mind you, yesterday, I was watching a little bit of the pregame of the before the Braves and Cardinals down in Atlanta, right? And I had class last night at Iona, so I hop in the car literally probably about 5:30,
yeah,
and I pop on, you know, Sirius satellite radio because I want to listen to the game. And you know how they have like the kind of give you the what channel you're on and give you the score of the game if you're listening to a game.
Yeah.
And I nearly drove off the Merritt Parkway seeing the score, St. Louis 10, yeah, Atlanta nothing in the bottom half of the first inning.
Yeah.
I could not believe my eyes when I saw that. I had to do a double take, and then they finally told me the score basically after the first or second out of the bottom half of the first inning. I couldn't believe it was 10-0.
I was in the middle of something. I was taping something, and I'm like, I'll jump in this game around the second inning. So while I was taping something, I looked at my phone, and I looked on the CBS Sports app, which it works pretty quick. So I just go to that one all the time. And I saw the score, and I'm like, I had to refresh. I'm like, wait, it's just, I'm like, what am I looking at here? Like, it seemed like it was wrong. Like, you know, because it was 10-0, you know, at the top of the second inning. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I got a chance to put the game on. I'm like, this is a waste. This is horrible.
Right, yeah. And you're right, and maybe it should have clued me in at the time when I flipped over because it was like 5:47, and it was the bottom half of the first inning. I know that game got going at 5:07,
you
want to talk about just an absolute cataclysmic disaster for the Atlanta Braves.
Horrible.
I mean, there was nothing to watch. I mean, that was, and we talked up that series, Taz, up until game five, that was the best series of all the divisional series.
Yeah, I remember
It was the most entertaining, dramatic. We talked about it, Yadier Molina and his exploits and, you know, some of the decisions, non-decisions by both managers and in the series up until that stage. I couldn't believe how big of a doozy. I mean, at one point in time, it's 13-0 before the, you know, Donaldson home run to make it a 13-1 final. I thought at one point in time the St. Louis Cardinals were going to score 20-plus runs. I mean, it seemed like they could not. Everything they hit either was off the wall or found a hole or Freddie Freeman was making an error at first base.
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, for those Braves fans in Atlanta sitting there, man, there was no... No chops, no Chop Jones, nothing.
Well, that brings me, a couple things hit me. Number one, what do you do if you're a Brave fan sitting there in that stadium? You get it, you know, you do a little pregame, you leave work early, or you take off from work to go to the game, and it's the bottom half of the first inning and it's 10-0 St. Louis. Do you stick around? Do you take off and go home? Or do you go to one of probably the bars in the area and stop paying attention to the game? What exactly do you do if you're one of those Brave fans?
I would go, this is what I would have done, right to the concession stand, okay, yeah, and turn my back to the field, not even watch the game and just eat, because I would have killed some time eating because, okay, I've been down in Atlanta a lot, right, in my career, and the worst thing about Atlanta, it's a beautiful city, is the traffic. The traffic on those roads, on those highways, I can't explain how bad it is. Anybody listening right now that's either been to Atlanta or is from Marietta or that area or somewhere in that part of Georgia, you know what I'm talking about. It's insane. So I would not have gotten a car and went home because it would have took me 2 hours at that time. What would it have been, like 6 p.m.?
That's a good point. You know what I mean? Rush hour traffic.
Right. So I'm sure there's a place to maybe pound a few drinks, and I would have probably got bombed and drunk and then called an Uber. You know, that's what I would have done.
I would have gone and gotten something to eat, have something to drink. I mean, I would stop paying attention to the game. I certainly wouldn't have been sitting there, Taz, and watching it unfold in my seats, because I would have gotten even angrier. And for the Braves, I mean, would you rather have gone out the way that the Dodgers went out, or would you rather have gone out the way the Braves went out?
I was thinking that. That's a good question, too. Man, that's a really good question, because I've been thinking about this all morning. I probably would have rather went out. As a player or as a fan? What are you saying?
As a fan.
The Cardinals, I'm trying to praise went out. I mean, it's embarrassing, but it wasn't like you were so close you could taste it. You know what I mean? At least you got your ass whooped in the first inning, and you felt like you had enough time for it to sink in that your team is going to be gone. You know, but you're done while you're sitting in your home stadium at SunTrust Park. The other way with the Dodgers, man, that was a heartbreaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. But the fact
you would have rather done.
I probably both would have been, if I was a player or a fan, I probably would have chosen the Dodger way. To get throttled like that. So, I mean, to be down 10-0 after the first inning, for the Cardinals to be setting MLB records. You know, for people poking fun and saying, the Braves are collapsing like the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, to have all this and breaking up how demoralized, how bad the Atlanta sports scene is, Taz. I don't know if I could handle that. Oh. I really don't. Sitting there watching, and as a player, I'd like to have had a chance. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, for the game to basically be over. I mean, it was over with Flaherty on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals after a half hour. That's tough to take as well as you're a player, because basically you're just counting the outs till it's over. You're not coming back from 10-0 down.
No, it was.
This isn't Little League Baseball.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was embarrassing for the Braves. Any way possible, I think, there was for the Braves to get on. I'm sorry, the Cardinals to get on base in that first inning.
I think it happened.
Any way possible to get on, they got on. So it was unbelievable. It was just nonstop. It just went in. It was horrible for the Braves.
And McCann, who struggled behind home plate, and that's being kind. He called it a career after 15 years in Major League Baseball in the clubhouse after that game goes final, as the Cardinals do march on. Against the Atlanta Braves. And we can't play it on the airwaves, but the Cardinals manager, Taz, did you see the video in the clubhouse as the champagne is flowing and guys are celebrating, and he gave a little speech to his team?
Yes.
F-bomb joke.
F-bomb city.
I mean, dropping one after the other, after the other,
that's funny.
After the other to his team. If you didn't catch it, we can't play it because it would basically be one beep after another here on our show. But It shows you that that Cardinal team does believe, and they are a gutty bunch. They really are. And they just utterly thrashed and embarrassed the Braves yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was something. I mean, you feel bad for those Brave fans, but as a Met fan, I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You thought maybe it was going to be 2-for-2.
Yeah.
Take the Braves out, they get thoroughly embarrassed, and they're like, oh, the Dodgers are a cinch.
Yeah, I know. That's
funny. Mark Schlereth will join us next. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.